Last week I spoke to you about the fact that we're in a spiritual battle, and I said to you what? That the battle is what? Intensifying. Okay? How many of you in a week, the battle's already intensified from last week when I talked to you? Raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 of you. That's about right. Okay, that's right. So it's getting worse. Okay? I'll raise my hand too. I'd be in that group. So it's real. The question is, right, what are you going to do? I just want to say to you, you can hang your head. You can throw up your arms. You can quit. You can give up. But you guys are not going to do that, right? No, you won't do that. Absolutely not. And so last week we looked at Ephesians 6, 10 through 20, and Paul describes the life of a believer, and he says that we are all soldiers, and we've been placed in God's army, and then he says what? Put on the full armor of God. And last week I really encouraged you in this battle, as it gets more and more intense, what should you be doing? Put on the armor, more and more, every day. Amen?
Amen.
Every person who is born in this world is in a cosmic battle, correct? Everybody. And when a person becomes a Christian, now they move into what? God's army. Amen? And that's happening to everybody. Some people choose not to serve the living God, so they're not. But those who decide to believe in Christ, we now become soldiers. Now we're in God's army. So the question we have to ask is, and I'd like to ask you is, do you live like you're in a war? How many of you live like you're in a war? Right? You don't? Couple of you do. Okay. You should be living like you're in a war, because guess what? You got an enemy. His name is Satan, and he wants to kill you and your family. It's real. It's not Superman and Spider-Man. This is real. And so I really want to encourage you. Ephesians 6:10. We talked about it last week. What? Be strong in the Lord and be strong in the mighty power of God. That is our response. Amen? Ultimately, I think we need to realize that Satan's power over a Christian has already been broken. Amen. And the war has already been won. How? By the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And all God's people said.
Amen.
Now the battles can only be won in the Lord's power. Be clear on this. It's not yours. So many people today are living in this cosmic battle, and the forces are very strong against them. And they're thinking that they can win it on their own. Right? How many of you believe that? I know some of you do, but I say to you, you're wrong. If you're relying on your own self, your own strength, your own direction, your own will, your own guidance, you will be like millions and millions of other people. You will become a statistic. Amen? You will lose. Absolutely, 100%. The only way out for you is what? Is God. You believe? How many believe? I know myself. I believe the only way out for me is what? God. And I really want to encourage you with that. It's the only power. Who can have power over Satan? God. Not you and not me, that's for sure. God. Amen? And so this morning, I really want to move from Ephesians 6:10, where finally, my brothers and sisters, we are to be strong in the Lord and His mighty power. And I want to move to Romans chapter 8, because I think this will help us. And what we really need to understand is the powerful work of the Holy Spirit. And all of God's people, who understand, are going to say what? Amen. Amen. We must. In this chapter, Romans 8, the Holy Spirit is going to be mentioned 20 times. Not once, not two, not five, not 10. 20 times. Wow. And so, in our daily life, as we are involved in warfare, how many of you understand the person of the Holy Spirit
and the power of the Holy Spirit for you to win the battles of the cosmic warfare you're in? Raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Okay, about half of you. Okay, half of you do, half of you don't. Okay, good. Glad you're here. It really is kind of sad, I think, for God, probably, that so many people don't really understand this. And so it's absolutely essential for every Christian to know, I believe, powerful role in spiritual warfare. And so this morning, I really want to emphasize the Holy Spirit to you. And hopefully today, I really want you, as you're listening, to be really thankful for the Holy Spirit that lives inside of you. How many of you have already done that today? Like you got up and said, thank you, Holy Spirit, for your power. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for delivering me. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you can overcome the flesh. How many of you got up today and, okay, some of you did. Oh, that's good. That's good. So some of you know the power of the Holy Spirit. Okay, good. I really want us to say, at each point, thank you, Holy Spirit. We honor you. We give you thanks for who you are. Part of the answer we need for the warfare that we're in, and all God's people said. So let's open up our Bibles and see Paul's direction in this warfare, and not only be strong in the power of God, but let's find out the role of the Holy Spirit in this battle that is actually taking place in the lives of every person. So let's look. You all have this? Romans 8, let's start with verse 1, and let's read slowly. And if you're like me, I underline my Bible because there's a lot of things I don't understand. And I go back and I research and I study so I can come to understand what's really what it's saying. So let's read slowly. Verse 1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Jesus Christ, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, in that the law was weak, it was weakened by the sinful nature. How many know that the law was weak? The law is very weak. God did by sending his son in the likeness of sinful man to be our sin offering. The law is weak. God sends his son. And so, Jesus what? Condemned sin in sinful people. Awesome. In order that the righteous requirement of the law, because the law has a requirement, might be fulfilled in us who do not live according to your sinful nature. But you, as a believer, you live by the Spirit. Now those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on natural desires. But those who live according with the Spirit of God, have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of the sinful man? Death. The mind controlled by the Holy Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostility toward God. The man or the woman who does operate in the flesh is hostile to God. Of course, we see that everywhere. Why? It does not submit to God's law. And underline it, it can't do so. You all understand that. It can't do it. But those who are controlled by the sinful nature, we know what? Cannot please God. This is the word of the Lord to the people of God. And all of God's people said,
amen.
Amen. So this morning I want to look at this. And first thing I want to say to you is that It is the Holy Spirit that actually conveys to you and to me, if you're a believer, no condemnation status. Okay? No condemnation status. Verse 1, very clear. He says what? Therefore. I mean, that's a big word. What does therefore mean? It means everything that Paul has said in chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7 are going to come to a conclusion. Correct? Therefore. Very powerful. Amen?
Amen.
We need to understand those first 7 chapters of Romans. Because in those chapters, we learn that Paul said a man is justified by his faith in Jesus Christ. Faith and faith alone. Nothing else. Only faith. That responds to the love and the grace when God sent his only son, Jesus Christ, to come and live and die and rise again from the dead. Faith and faith alone. And all God's people said.
Amen.
The work has been done. Amen. When Jesus was on earth, he went to that cross. He lived. He did miracles. Powerful things. When he dies, he looks up and says what? It is finished. Christ takes on the penalty of your sin and my sin. Amen?
Amen.
And now you are totally free. Awesome. Amen. Therefore, and because of that, what? You, if you're a believer, have what? No condemnation. No condemnation. I looked up this word for condemnation. It's kind of an interesting word. In the Greek, it's a katechema. And it actually means, it's a legal term, and it actually means a punishment has to be given to a person after they've been sentenced in a court. They have to be punished. Because they are guilty. Has to happen. And it's called what? Condemnation. They are condemned. Now, I love the point because I think it's so true. And that is, I really believe many people today are very aware of their sinfulness. Would you not agree? They're very aware. Even if they only knew the Ten Commandments, they would know. And what would they know if they just read the Ten Commandments alone? And they say, I grew up as a kid. I know the Ten Commandments. Wow. What else do they know if they only knew the Ten Commandments? They would also know that they are condemned. It would have to be their conclusion. Correct? They are condemned. They know the Ten Commandments. That's it. They are condemned. And they live with that condemnation. Do you understand that? How many know people who are living this way? They are condemned. They look at their life and they say what? I am condemned. I know the Ten Commandments. I know I don't live up to it. Whether they tell you or not, what do they know? What do they know? They are condemned. They are going to hell. They know it. Do you understand they know it? Don't let them fool you. Maybe you're here today. You know it too. So they walk around with a cloud over them. Correct? How many know people who walk with a cloud? They're always discouraged. Why are they discouraged? They know they're condemned. Oh, they know the Ten Commandments, but they're condemned. Correct? They are condemned. The Bible's clear on that. The law could not save them. Amen? The law by itself could not save them. And so they walk and they feel condemned. They live condemned. The cycle of life for them usually is like this. I have some good days, and there are some good things that are happening to me. But eventually what's going to happen to them is what? Bad days are coming. Why are bad days coming? I am guilty. I know I'm guilty. I am condemned. It's a what? It's a cycle of condemnation. Don't think that they're always bad. They could have a good time, right? But they're always looking for the bad time. Because they know eventually they're condemned. You all understand that? This is happening to who? Every non-believer in the whole wide world. The Bible is very clear about this. Amen?
Amen.
But for you, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ,
Amen.
You can come to church and you can say, I have no condemnation. I can stand before a holy God and know that I am sinful before Him. But I am not condemned.
Hallelujah.
Do you understand? How many of you get this? You are not condemned. You may be sinful, but Christ paid the price for you. You can stand before... How could someone come to communion? Oh, I don't think they can. How do you get up out of your seat when we have communion? You must believe what? You are not condemned. Unless you're just lying and you want to follow the rest of the church and come to communion, but you don't believe anything. I suppose people could come into church that way, right? I don't believe any of this, but everyone's getting out in their seat. I guess I better go. But they are what? They're condemned. They are condemned. That's the only way I can get out. I can only get out to say what? The Holy Spirit has conveyed to me in my life, I am not condemned. I can stand before holy God. And God says to me, not guilty, no condemnation. Oh, Lord, let me come to communion today. Correct? Is that not what the Bible teaches? Very, very clear. Very clear. We ought to rejoice. Amen?
Amen?
That you have a Holy Spirit living inside of you that conveys to you the work of Jesus Christ. Do you understand that? How many of you know it's a powerful work? Now, some of you might be here today and say, Pastor, I never understood this. Well, now you do. All you have to do is be open to the Spirit of God to speak to you the truth of what Jesus Christ did for you when He died on the cross. And all God's people said?
Amen.
It's the truth. And if you're here today and you're saying, well, Pastor, I'm condemned, then I want to tell you clearly, you don't have to stay condemned. There is a way out for you, but there's only one way out for you. And that is the cross of Jesus Christ. And if you think you can get out on your own, you will be destroyed, totally destroyed. Make no doubt about it. This word will stand true. Regardless of what you think or believe, this word will hold true. And one day we'll all realize the power of the Word of God and the power of the Spirit of God to convey to us the truth of that cross. No condemnation for you. No guilt for you. You are free. And all God's people said?
Amen.
Amen. Yes. I'm so happy for the Holy Spirit. I'm grateful to the Spirit of God. Amen? Conveys to us that truth. Wow! Awesome! Woo! Number two. Second, the Holy Spirit sets us free from living in sin and death. How do I know that? There is now what? No condemnation for those who are in, for those who are what? In Christ Jesus. Why? Verse 2. Because. Right? Because what? Because through Christ Jesus, through Him, what? The life of the Spirit of life sets you free from the law of sin and death. So how many laws are there in this verse, in verse 2? There are two laws. One is the law of sin and death. The second law is the law of what? Spirit of God. And the law of the Spirit? Life, peace, freedom. And this Spirit lives where? If you're a believer. When you accepted Christ into your life, not only were your sins totally forgiven, and not only did God speak over you now, no condemnation, you are not guilty any longer. But the Holy Spirit now comes and lives inside of you. Is that not awesome or what? I think it's wild. I would say, wow. How many of you can grasp the reality that the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, is God, and now, when you confess your sin and you understand what Christ did and you receive that by faith, The person of the Holy Spirit now comes what? Lives where? Inside. How many of you can grasp that concept? Can you get that at all? And you are living in your flesh. Whoa. Tell me about that for a while. So I am living in the body, correct? My natural body. And that's a sinful body. And then now what happens? The Holy Spirit lives where? What's going to happen with that dynamic? Think about it for a while. The Bible is going to tell you exactly what's going to happen with that. But the Spirit of God, because there's going to come a battle, right? Because there's a law of what? Sin and death. And there are a lot of people who live in it. Millions of people live in it. And are they ever going to get any better? No. They'll never get any better. And if they keep relying on themselves to get out, can they ever get out? They can never get out. Never get out. The only way out is Jesus Christ. Why? Because of the law of the Spirit of life. And that Spirit, amen? See, the law of sin and death. How many know how wicked it is? Just look around you, guys. Look around you. Very evident. Look at non-believers. They are what? Wicked. No doubt about it. How many know how wicked they are? Wicked. And you think you're going to try to make them better? How many of you have been with wicked people? You think you're going to make them better? You're never going to make them better. Why? Their nature is corrupt. Got it? You understand this? Their nature is what? Corrupt. So if the nature is corrupt, which it is, then they are going to be wicked people. Why? Because the nature is corrupt. What comes out of a corrupt person's nature? All sorts of evil, wickedness, sin, jealousy, anger. Have you been seeing any of this lately? Yeah, it is everywhere. Many people live in it. And they're not getting better. And you get that, right? How many of you get this? It could be your brother, your sister, your mother, your father, your best friend. This law stands firm. It is wicked, it is destructive, and they will be destroyed. No doubt about it. But the Spirit of the, but the Holy Spirit now what? Going to come and bring life, freedom, not guilty, no condemnation. Is that not awesome or what?
Amen.
How many of you love your Holy Spirit? I love. I get excited sometimes. I'll say, I ought to be apologizing for my behavior in church. I get a lot of excitement here. The Spirit of God said, you don't have to apologize to anybody. Who's talking to me? Spirit of God. You understand that? Why? Because I've been set free. Amen? And the truth of the matter is, so have you. If you're in Christ. If there's no condemnation. If you believe. Bible is very clear. Amen? Well, I'll tell you what, I am so happy. I go, thank the Holy Spirit who frees me, amen? See, this is the truth. And this is happening to who? Everybody. All day long. It's all happening. Non-believers, they are under the law of what? Sin and death. It's wicked. It's destructive. God's people, they are under the law of the Spirit, freeing, releasing, revealing truth, amen, and even confirming by the Spirit of God that you and I are a child of God.
Amen.
Do you not love that Holy Spirit in you that says, I don't care what anybody says, Spirit of God says, I am a child of God. How do I know? You don't have to know. The Spirit of God reveals who I am. Is that not awesome? Are you not totally blown away by this?
Yeah, yeah.
This is wild. And it's all because of who? 20 times. Spirit of God. Spirit of God. Wow. Oh, thank the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, before Christ, I want you to put up that slide. Before Christ, I want you to think about this. Before you met Christ, you were controlled by what? You, not anybody else, you and me,
we were controlled by what? The law of
sin and death.
Verse 2. And your mind, before you were a Christian, was set on what? Set on the flesh. Verse 5. And your mind and your position before God, clearly it's going to lead to what? Death. Verse 6. And in that state that you were in, you are what? You are hostile to God. You are an enemy of God. Of course you have to be. Your whole nature is you don't want anything to do with God. The only one that's important in your life is who? You. And you're wicked. Do you understand that? Romans is very clear on this. Amen? Put up the next slide. Now, after Christ, according to Romans 8, what? Now you are what? Now you are what? Controlled by what? The Holy Spirit who's given you life. Not only are you operating under the control of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit sets you free. Who sets you free from all the sin and the temptation and the death that you're going to when you die eternally? Who sets you free of that? The Spirit of God. Correct? Verse 2. And I love this. The righteous requirement of the law is totally satisfied. Do you understand it? Totally satisfied. Who could satisfy the law? Only Jesus Christ. Nobody, nothing could have done that except Jesus Christ. And that is why a man who just says he knows the Bible, knows the Ten Commandments, means very little, because he's not saved.
Amen.
He is not saved. Why? There's no righteousness in him. Bible is clear, is it not? And I love verse number 4. How else would you know? And so now, the life of the believer, based on this work of the Spirit in you, is what? According to verse 6. Life and peace. And all God's people said,
amen.
It is an awesome thing that the Spirit of God does. How many of you get all this? I hope you do. You need to. It's the truth. You want to live by truth. Get God's truth. Understand what God is teaching. Amen?
Amen.
But boy, it's really awesome. I love it. I love the Spirit of God. I am grateful for the Holy Spirit inside of me. I honor the Spirit of God inside of me. We sing today. I go, surrender, Spirit of God, take control of my life. I know what I'm singing. I don't know if you, do you? Like when you sing today, Spirit of the living God, fall on me. I surrender. Do you know what you're saying? Or do you just like, the church is singing some songs, we're going along with them. That's why people say, well, I really don't want to come to worship. I want to be late. I really don't want to hear all that stuff, because really, I just want to hear the word. Where's the Spirit of God in you, people? You would be hungry and thirsty if the Spirit of God feeds, going to feed you, it's going to free you, it's going to give you life. You'd be coming to say, put me in praise and worship. Get me to sing those songs. And not because I need a song list. Singing the truth of God's word. I'm thinking the reality of the Spirit of God. I know the freedom He wants to give me. I know the battle I'm in. I know why I come to church. Amen?
Amen?
That's a follower of Christ. That's a follower of Christ. And all God's people said, boy, is it powerful. Wow. Woo! Number 3. Now, there are basically two types of people in the world. Not from your perspective, from God's. There's only two types of people in the whole world. Correct? Verse 4. Only two. Don't think there's a lot. There's only two. Those who walk, read verse 4. Those who walk according to the flesh, and those who walk according to the Spirit. Correct? Verse 4. Now, how many of you know God doesn't divide people by culture? Well, Rosemary talked about it. Our kids are understanding it. But does God divide anybody by culture? Does God divide anybody by race? Does God divide anybody by education? Does God divide anybody by their sexual orientation? Does God divide anybody by how much they've achieved or what they haven't achieved? And the answer is absolutely. Absolutely not. There's only one thing that God looks at, right? And what is it? In verse 4, those who walk according to the flesh. How many know God's going to look at that? I don't care what color you are. I don't care how much education you have. But what I'm going to watch is what? How you walk. Because you're either going to walk by the flesh, or you're going to walk according to that verse, or you're going to walk according to the Spirit of God. That's how God looks. And guess what? That is a big thing to God. That is a big thing to God. Wow. Woo! Now, I believe that God recognizes that there are differences, but I believe it's in this area, the flesh and the spirit. Now, I believe also that there are degrees within these two classifications. And the difference in these two classifications are absolute and they are eternal. Done. But the contrast between those who walk according to the flesh and those who walk according to the Spirit is essentially a contrast of behaviors. Would you not agree? It has to be. It's an issue of what? Behaviors. Has to be. Why? Because they said, Romans 8 says those who what? Walk. What does walk mean? Walk. Those who walk. We know what it means? It means those who live. Those who get up in the morning. Those who learn how to live life. What are they doing? They're walking. And walking in the Bible is usually an indication of how they're living. How are you living? What's your behavior like? I mean, that can preach a long time right there, right? Right? Yeah, that's a lot, right? And so, how do you know when you're operating in the flesh, and how do you know when you're operating in the Spirit? And the Bible is very, very clear on that. You don't have to wonder or guess. And you all know the answer, right? Just read verse 5. Clear as a bell. What does verse 5 say? It says this. Those who live according to the sinful nature, right, have their minds set on the sinful nature. Amen? And all of its natural desires. But those who live according to the Spirit have their minds set on the spiritual desires. So you say, Pastor, I don't know which one I'm leading. Oh, very simple. When you got up this morning, tell me what your thoughts were, and I can tell you which one you were in. Very simple. Pastor, I was worried about my car. I was worried about my house. I wonder where I'm going to get my money. Then you are thinking about what? Flesh. So you're operating in your flesh. That's not the Spirit of God. That's not the Spirit of God. You say, Pastor, which one were you in when you got up this morning? Let's be honest. Which one were you in when you got up this morning? Pastor, I woke up in the Spirit of God. Spirit of God was working in me. My mind was on the Spirit of God. I was concentrated. What's God doing today? Or how many of you got up? What am I going to do today? Where am I going today? How am I going to? Where's the gas in my car? What's going on with my kids? Which one were you in? It's very clear. Because it all depends on your mind. Correct? How many of you? Be honest. Don't lie to me, okay? You can't lie. It doesn't matter. The Spirit of God knows what's going on with you anyways, right? So don't lie about it. How many of you got up today and you operated, your mind, when you got up today, was on all the fleshly things you had to do today? Raise your hand. One. About half of you. Okay. How many of you got up today and said, I've got my mind on the Holy Spirit living inside me, guiding me, directing me, giving me life, taking me out of bondage, delivering me from my sin? When I got up today, those are the things I set my mind on. Raise your hand. One, two, three. Oh, so about half. Okay, I appreciate your honesty. That's good. I'm glad you're honest. But I want to tell you something, those of you who didn't give the right answer.
I appreciate your honesty, but let me tell you, you are operating by your flesh. And your flesh is going to end up in sin and death. Correct? Is that not true? Wow. The Greek word here, I want to make no mistakes about this. Okay, the Greek word here for flesh in verse 5 is sarx, S-A-R-X. And it refers to our human nature. It refers to our fallen nature. It refers to the natural mind, the natural body, all the emotions, apart from God. Apart from God. Write that down. Apart from God. You got that? So when he talks about operating in the flesh, he's talking about all these. Not just talking about your physical body. Some people say, oh, do you operate in your physical body? Yes, I operate in my physical body. Okay, but sarx is more than that. Amen? It is all these things separate from God. You never want to operate that way. Never want to operate that way. Amen?
Amen.
Now, wow. It is the Holy Spirit who gives us strength over our flesh to have victory and to conform to what is already true about our spirit, which is alive and righteous in Jesus Christ. Please write that down. It is who? The Holy Spirit. And what's the Holy Spirit doing? The Holy Spirit inside of you is going to give you strength. Because think about the reality. You are living in your body. And who comes in? The Holy Spirit. So what's going to happen when that happens? You're going to be in major warfare. Correct? Of course, you have to be. Of course you have to be. How are you going to get out of the warfare? How are you going to have victory over the warfare? There's only one answer. And you guys know what it is. What is it? You operate by the Spirit of God. You allow the Holy Spirit inside of you to lead you, to guide you, to change your mind, to remove the sin, to get you out of that difficulty, to give you the wisdom you need. This is the Christian life, correct? Is that not true? How many of you are operating this way? Like you're getting up in the morning, you're saying, Pastor, I'm in turmoil, I got this going. Fine, that's reality for you. What's your answer? The answer is the Holy Spirit. Because that, how many of you right now, something's, all of you who said you're operating in the flesh, what's going on in your life? Think about what circumstance right now is going on in your life that the flesh wants to control you. Think about it. How many of you got it? You know what it is? How many problems do you have? What's going on with your family? How sick are you? You got your problem? You know what your problem is? Or how many of you know what your problem is? If you don't know what your problem is, you're stuck. How many of you know what your problem is? How many of you know what your problem in the flesh is? You know what it is? Okay. That's good. So the question is, what is your answer in the Holy Spirit? Correct? If you know what your problem is in the flesh, then the only way you're going to get out of that flesh is what? Your Holy Spirit, living inside of you, wants to get you out of that destructive relationship, wants to get you out of those people who hate you, wants to get you through the turmoil, the difficulty you're in. Who's doing that? The Holy Spirit. And does the Holy Spirit have power over your flesh? Does the Holy Spirit have the ability to overcome all that junk inside you? Yes. Come on now, get this right, because if you say, oh no, I don't know about that, Pastor, then you are stuck. And then you do not know the power of actually who's living inside of you. Right, Marcia? Marcia knows. Huh? You do live it, Marcia. Believe me, you live it, Marcia. Wow. It's just not awesome. I don't know. See, how many of you, like, you say, okay, I have this battle that's raging, but boy, I've got a Holy Spirit that's conveying to me truth. I'm a child of God. There's no condemnation over me. And all you have to do is set your heart and your mind. When you get up every single morning, I'm the work of the Holy Spirit. Remember we say, we sang, What do we think today? Purify me, God. How many of you really knew what you were saying when you said, purify me? Make me a vessel, God. How many know what you were saying? Did you know what you were singing? Make me a living vessel for you, God.
Amen.
Prepare my heart, oh God. It's the Spirit of God. Amen. Wow. I really want to encourage you in closing. Can we come up in closing this morning? I really want to encourage you. How many know that the battle is getting more intense? Okay? So what does that mean? If the battle is getting intense, what does that mean? It means the Spirit of God, who has victory over that flesh in this world, needs to be strong in God. Remember Ephesians 6, what? Be strong in the Lord. I want you to not only be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power, you need to be strong in the work of the Spirit of God, who's doing something in you to purify you. I mean, what's Spirit doing? Purifying you. Making you holy. Oh, now you could say, I don't want to do anything about that. Your conflict is going to get so intense. That's what's going to happen. Or, you can what? You can submit to the Holy Spirit. You can say, Spirit of God, I can't get through this. But you can. You have victory over my flesh. You can get me through this, Spirit of God. This is real. This is real. This is very real. I just want to encourage you. You set your mind on the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
Verse 5, Romans 8, 5. You set your mind, not on the flesh. You, what? Set your mind on the Spirit. Can you do that? How many of you can do that? Say, Pastor, I can do that. I'm in a battle. The battle is really where? Right up there. What's the victory for that? Spirit of God. You have to what? Set your mind. I'll guarantee you, some of you, you do this one here, I'll tell you what's going to come. Life. Peace. Why? Because it's what God promised you. It's what God promised you. How many know God's word is true? You say here, Pastor, oh, this is too heavy. Listen, it's true. Settle it. God's word is true. So then what? You obey God's word. In the midst of all your turmoil, when everything's getting in chaos, you go, you know what? There's only one thing that's true. It's the Word of God. I will set my mind on that Word, and it doesn't matter what anybody says. I will be secure in the work of the Spirit of God. I will honor the Spirit of God. I will walk in the Spirit of God. I will set my mind on the Spirit of God. I will listen to the Holy Spirit when He talks with me. I will obey what the Spirit of God says inside of me. Wow. You know what? I've heard Christians talk. You know what I hear them say to me? Pastor, I'm burned out. I feel like following Christ is pointless. I've heard that among Christians. You know what it is? It's a lack of the Spirit of God. It's a lack of the Spirit of God, not living and not let the person, let the, fill me, Spirit of God. Let me walk in this every day. Because the life I'm living is going to be filled with turmoil and difficulty. But the Spirit of God is going to give me what? Life and peace. How many of you really believe? Some people come to church just to listen to a few nice things. I'm not here to tell you a few nice things. I'm here to tell you the reality of what the gospel of Jesus Christ says. Church, do you hear? Church, are you listening? Church, will you submit? Church, will you be obedient? I clearly want to tell you, there is no other way out for you. There's no other way out for me. No way out for you, Tony. There's no other way out for you, Nate. There is no other way out. Resolve it. It'll be the power of the Spirit of God counseling me and directing me and leading me. And I'm following it in a wicked and a perverse society filled with death and damnation. It's the truth. But I'm walking. You don't quit, guys. You do not quit. I don't know how to end this. I'm serious. How do you end this? I guess you pray. I guess you have an altar call. I guess you fall on your face before God. You just get on your face and you go, oh my goodness. But always remember, that Holy Spirit is living inside of you. Amen. Let them live. Don't grieve them. Oh, my God. Don't grieve them. Some of you are grieving them out of your own disobedience. You do not grieve the Spirit of God. Right? You don't grieve the Spirit of God. You want to say, Spirit of God, I listen. I do what you tell me to do. Even when it doesn't make sense. How many of you are like, even when it doesn't make sense? How many of you are at that place in your life? Even when it doesn't make sense. God's calling me to do something. I'm not sure. But I know it's the Spirit. Then tell me what you do. When you know it's the Spirit of God and nobody else around you really has gotten that same truth, tell me what you do. Tell me what you do. You do it. Doesn't matter what they say. It's the Spirit of God who knows your future, knows all the people around you, knows how He's going to resolve it. Why would you hesitate? Why would you disobey the Spirit of God? Why would you say, oh, I don't know? Oh, my goodness. Say yes. And the result is what? Life and peace in the power of the Spirit of God. Isn't Romans 8 awesome? Oh, it's awesome. It's got more truth in there. I'm like, oh, thank you. Thank you, God. Well, I want. Here's what we're going to do. If you need to leave and go home, you say, Spirit of God releases me, I'm fine, then go. You're fine. You're free to leave. You're free to leave. But if the Spirit of God is calling you to get down on your hands and there's no judgment here. I'm not judging anybody. I just want to end the service. You got a choice. You can come and kneel. And you can take the difficulties and the situations you're going through. Some of you are going through stuff and you don't even know what's happening. You don't even know the enemy who's trying to destroy you. You don't even know it. So you know what you do? Fall on your knees, say, Spirit of God, there is a situation happening right now that I don't know what to do in. Spirit of God, reveal to me by your power what's going on so I can obey you so you can resolve it. That's how we're supposed to live. And believe me, the Holy Spirit inside of you will be honored. The Holy Spirit inside of you will here's what, well pleased with you. You're following me. You know me. You hear my voice. You listen to me. You set your mind on me. I'm going to bring you peace. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Spirit. Let's close in a word of prayer. And just be thankful today that you're in church. Be thankful that you have a Bible in front of you you can read. Be thankful that the Spirit of God is here to free you. Set you free. To say you're a child of God. There is now no condemnation over you. Nothing. No condemnation for you. Frees you. You're mine. You're a child of a living God. Thank you, Spirit. Thank you, Spirit of God. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Let's pray in closing. Dear Lord, we just thank you for this morning. And Lord, we know the battle. We know, God, it's intensifying. Many of us, God, are overwhelmed. We're overwhelmed, God, as we look at things. We just say the Spirit of God has life. Set our minds on that. May your Spirit have victory over our flesh. May we walk in the Spirit of God. Walk in the Spirit of God. And do everything we know to honor the Holy Spirit in our lives. Thank you. We just thank you and we praise you. Spirit of God. And all God's people said, amen. All of you, amen.